y'all. It's Jazz Ford. Thank you for coming back for another episode of Heavy on Kingdom. We're a faith-filled podcast where we talk God journeys, laughter, love, and light. So glad to have you guys back and appreciate you guys so much for all the likes, the comments, the subscribes. Like, I see you. I thank you guys for rocking with this on the last episode. And here we are. We're dabbing into my personal testimony. So let me start off with a story. I remember being 16 years old, going into a church that me and my grandmother started going to, and the pastor calling the altar call, right? And saying, you don't have to join the church, but the altar call, because you know, like sometimes when they do altar call, it's for you to join the church. But this wasn't to join the church. This was to get saved, to give your life over to God. Here I am, boo-hooing, crying like a baby. I'm talking about like the ugly crying, snot running all out my nose, all of that. Like, ugh, just like so embarrassed. If they rolled back a tape, please don't have a tape. If they rolled back the tape, you would see me like boo-hooing, crying, snot, all the things. Like, nothing cute about that moment, but it was so sincere and it was so real. And it was because I was at a point in my life where I knew I needed God. I knew that what I'm doing, you know, without him, like I can't live this life without him. Like, how was I trying to live it before? Like, I got to a point where I was 16 years old and I knew that my parents, they were in this thing trying to figure life out with me. And it was just like, they didn't have it all together. I didn't have it all together. The people, my village, I have a strong village, like I said in the last episode of Believers, but they relied on God. They didn't have it all together. So it's just like, God, like, and I understood the fact that I came to God because of my soul and because of where I wanted my soul to end up. But it was bigger than that. It was bigger than that for me at 16. It was bigger than that. I needed more. I need God right here, right now, right here with me. I needed him walking with me every single day. I didn't need to just read about him or him being stuck on a page or stuck in a preacher's notes when he's preaching on Sundays, like, and only feel him on Sundays. Like, I needed to walk with God and experience God and feel God every single day. I felt so overwhelmed in that moment and filled with God's love, and it's just so unexplainable. And it changed my life. It changed the trajectory of my life. And I think it was at a time where generational and life-changing for my family as well, because my mom was a teen mom. And at 16, she was pregnant with me at 16 and working through so many traumas of her own. And she became a young mother trying to raise a baby. And my dad was also, he was in his 20s when they had me. And that wasn't abnormal or back in the day. Like, that was like in the 90s. But it was still, they were still babies trying to raise a baby. And it became very evident, like, as I grew older, because they need a village, just like most parents do. I don't care if you are in your 30s and you're raising a baby, you still need your village. And so I was blessed to have that. But I just knew at 16 that I needed more. I needed God, and I needed him every day, and I needed something that was real. And I talked a little bit on the first episode about how I had a jump rope dad, but it was because he had traumas of his own. It's because he had life experiences of his own, and he wasn't perfect, and there's no perfect parents. And I also talked about having growing pains with my mom. And like I said, she had her own traumas as well, trying to raise a baby. So I have so much compassion for my parents, because if I had went through half of the things that they went through, I probably would have did the same things that they did. And they were just learning. They were just learning and growing in this life and evolving the same as we are. You know, I say we as in this generation, our generation are so hard on our parents on the things that they didn't get right. We got this gentle parenting thing going on and all these things, and how we're saying how it was so much trauma. But also looking at the good, it's like I'm so grateful for my parents because I had a good childhood. I really did. I had a great childhood. And through that trauma of like just childhood wounds, it brought me to God. It brought me closer. It brought me where I needed to be. And I couldn't imagine living this life, walking through this life, being faced with the obstacles and the things I've been faced with in life and not having God. Like I can't imagine that. Like I can't imagine not having a God to turn to and some of the not having a God, no, not a God, not having the God, the only God in my life and having him to turn to when I'm going through the toughest times or even the greatest times. Like I can't imagine like not having him, not feeling his presence. Like I can't imagine it. And so that day at 16, me boohooing, crying like a baby, like it's something that I would cherish forever. And have I rededicated my life since then? Yes, of course. I'm in my 30s now. I'm in my 30s now. I got saved at 16. Like I said, there's been a bunch of hills and a bunch of valleys. But me and God are still rocking. We're still going. And I'm going to keep God first until the end. To the end. And when I got saved, like I said, it wasn't a cakewalk after that. Even though I can admit that I thought that it would be. And I feel like a lot of people aren't honest about that transition. Because me and God went through growing pains of our own. Like it's a dance that I'm constantly still learning how to dance through, you know, dancing through this life with God. And it's a rhythm and a flow. And when I got saved, I feel like it goes back to that scripture that talks about how the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard, tiny mustard seed, but it grows into one of the largest of trees. And from that tree, others are able to reap from the fruit of that tree, basically. And so it also goes into the next chapter, also goes into saying how it's like a little yeast spread through a whole batch of dough. And so I feel like that's how it was with me. Like gradually, God just began to change things in me as I got saved. He began to change certain desires and certain interests. Like some of the things that I didn't like no more, I didn't like them anymore. But some of the things that I did like, I still like, you know. And it was a thing of me just learning how to just flow with God. And even things that I never even knew I liked, I started liking. Like reading the Bible. Like I started reading the Bible and I fell in love. I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the stories. I've always been a story person. That's why I like movies. And I have friends who make fun of me today because like that's how I relate to the world, by stories and movies. Like if you quote a movie to me, like I'm gonna quote it back. Like that's how I am. And so I saw that the Bible was nothing but a big movie. And it was nothing but like filled with war and filled with love and filled with friendship and filled with, you know, all these things. And I began just diving into the word and just reading the word. And God just began pouring into me, And the more I read, the more full I got, the more of his presence I felt and still feel even to this day. I would say that I've always had like encounters with God, but I never knew him for real. I never knew him for real. And I had to come to a place where I knew him for myself just because I grew up in a faith-filled household or faith-filled village. I would say a village because, like I said, I had young parents. So they had help. They had help from grandparents. They had help from aunties and uncles and cousins. And they all would pour into me and in their own little way, but they all believed in God in their own little way. It's like once you hear a sound loud long enough, like if somebody say this and then somebody say the same thing and then somebody say this another way, but the same thing, it's just like the sound only gets louder and louder. So that's how it was for me. And it goes back to that scripture, teach a child in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they will not depart from it. So that was my upbringing. And the thing about it is that, like growing up too, just the spiritual side of it. Like I said, I always had those encounters because like, if you ask my mom what type of child I was, she would definitely say that I was so scary. Like, I was so scary. Like, she would tell you I was, like, the scariest kid. So, it was just me and her, and she would hang up clothes. Like, you know, she would hang up clothes, and I would see things in the spiritual realm that I didn't know that I was seeing as a child because I didn't have language for it. I didn't have language for it right then and there, but now that I look back hindsight, I was seeing things in the spiritual realm and it would scare me, but I didn't have language for it. So when I would go back and tell people, they would be like, oh, you just being a kid. You're just afraid of the dark. Like you're just afraid of the boogeyman. Like, you know, stuff like that. Until like I start getting older and then like it just intensified. Like it intensified and I knew early on like the spiritual world was real. But I also knew because I was in these circles. Like I was in these circles and I was in these atmospheres. I was in atmospheres with my grandmother and other women in my family that it opened the door. It opened the door for me to know. And when you're in those type of atmospheres when you're younger, it's hard to unsee what you've already seen. So if you're going to a church service and you're seeing somebody getting a demon cast out of them, you can't go back and not see that. Like, you cannot go back and not see that. If you hear your grandmother praying on the phone or pleading the blood of Jesus over you or speaking into your life or, you know, things like that, like, you can't unhear or unsee the things that you've seen in the spiritual realm. So when things spiritual happen to you, you kind of know, but you don't really know. You know, it's still some fear there. But as you grow older, which happened for me as I grew older, I began to realize like, okay, this is what this is. I begin to have language for it. And so as a child, I just thought that the older people in my life who were believers, like they were just older. And that's what older people did. They believed in God and you know, he's coming back. I believe he was coming back, but they would say it all the time. They would say Jesus is coming back all the time. And as a kid, you be like, okay, Jesus is coming back. I know. But it became bigger to me to get saved because I cared about where my soul went. I didn't want to go to hell, but I needed God here. You know, a lot of times, like older people always talked about Jesus when he's in heaven or God when he's in heaven, but they never talk about life here. And it was just like, dang, this life here, like, I need God in this life, you know? I need him here, right now. And so when I realized, like, no, it wasn't that I realized. God gave me the grace to see that I needed him outside of everything else. And we went to this church because at first my grandma actually stopped going to church for a minute because she was working on her own walk with God. But she was building her relationship with God in the same sense. So she would still wake up and pray in the wee hours in the morning. I talk about in the first episode how she prayed in her praying chair. She would get up every single morning. Every single morning. And she would pray in this praying chair until the sun came up, until it was time for me to go to school. When I would spend the night over her house, I would hear her in there crying out to God, praying in tongues, praying for her family, praying for her children and her children's children, like just praying, seeking God. And same thing, when we go to sleep at night, she'd be on her knees praying out to God. And I remember like just being young, and you know how you try to, how children are so impressionable. I would try to like mimic the things that she would do, and I don't even want to say that I was playing with God, but I feel like all children do this. Like they try to mimic the people around them and mimic the things that they see. So she would pray at night and be on her knees. It seemed like she would be down there for hours. Like She seemed like she would be down there for hours, and I would be down there praying, like, hey, is she not done yet? Like, okay, the prayer's still going on. Like, I would be down there, like, trying to pray, and I would even set my, you know, kingdom come, that will be done on earth in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Looking up to see if, like, she was still down there praying. She were. And so I'm like, okay, my knees. at that early of an age, like, say, okay, God, like, you get the point. Like, I don't got, maybe I need to go through more life. Like, I don't have a lot of stuff that I'm praying for like she is. So let me get up. But, like, just things like that. And I just remember, like, how just in my, in whatever home I was in, like I said, I was in a village. So I was always with aunties or uncles or grandparents, or if I wasn't with my mom, like I was with these people, and they would have scriptures that I know my grandma had the Lord's Prayer in a frame, like a picture frame. It was a picture of like a sand frame. I don't even know how to describe it. It was like a picture, a plaque, a picture plaque, you know, that you hang on the wall with the Lord's Prayer, and it had footprints. And it was just the Lord's Prayer, and it just things like that. I remember the smell of holy oil. Like, I remember that my grandma used to anoint me, and like I said, plead the blood of Jesus over me and cover me in the blood. She used to read the Bibles for me when I'd be over her house. She would read the Bibles to me and my brother, and read it till we went to sleep. And those things right there, you can't forget. Like, those things are hard to forget. Once you experience certain things in life, like, you can't unexperience them. Like, no matter what other experiences you have, like, those are things that you will never forget. And even going to, like I said, if I wasn't with my with one part of the village, I was with another. Being with my aunties, I remember my auntie, me and my cousins, we would get in trouble. Like, I don't know why it was like this back in the day, but when you got in trouble, everybody got in trouble. We got in trouble for something. I do not know, but everybody was getting a whipping that day. And right before we got a whipping, she made us read scripture. Like, she made us read the Bible before we got a whipping. And we in there, I'm crying, reading the Bible. like, reading the Bible, like, crying. And we about to get a whipping. And we're up here reading the Bible. I don't even know what she made us read. Nothing like that. But that was it. Like, that was my upbringing. That was my foundation. We still had fun. But the people in my life, they lived it out. They lived out serving God and loving God and loving people. And that's what led me to salvation. All those things combined, all those things together, and then God calling me. When God calls you, it's just one of those things where it's just so undeniable, so indescribable. Like, you just feel it. You feel it, and you want to feel it all the time. And you just know that this is what you're supposed to do in this time that you're supposed to do it in. And so I knew of God. I knew God before I knew church. But I didn't start walking with God for real until I knew my need for him. I knew that I couldn't make it in this life without him. And I was so right, because he the one who graced me to know that. But, like, I couldn't imagine. Like I said, I'm going to say this over and over. Like, if you out there and you trying to make it to this through this life without him, oh my gosh, like, It's so much easier. It's hard in this life regardless, but with God, it's so much easier. And yeah, it's just so much easier with God than it is without him. And he loves us so much. He loves us so much that he's so patient. And he'll do anything. I'm talking about, he loves us real bad. He'll do anything to get us to see how much he loves us. It's just like that story in the Bible that everyone knows about, the prodigal son, about how he had two sons, but one son wanted to take the fortune early, and he went and he swindled it, he wasted. But when he came to himself and knew that, like, dang, I'm living this way and I don't even have to, I got a father with riches and with all of this, and I'm living like this. Even the servants in my father's house live better than me right now. So he went back home and he came to himself. But even in that, his father wasn't upset with them. His father wasn't disappointed in him. His father came to him looking for him at afar off with open arms, ready to accept him, ready to accept him with open hands. And it shows that every time that God will leave the 99 just to come and rescue the one. And he's done that for me so many times, y'all, like so many times that he's come and he's rescued me. Even in my darkest of seasons, God has always found a way to reach me. It goes back to that scripture in Psalms 139, where it says that, God, you search me even afar off. Like, wherever I go, you are there. It says, if I go to the highest heaven or make my bed in hell, thou art there. And it's just how much he cares for us. It's just to say that God loves us and he loves us so much. He loves us so, so much. He cares for us so, so much. Through every triumph, through every trial, like, God has been there. Been there to get me out, been patient while I'm in there, just wallowing in, just like the prodigal son, wallowing in stuff that I shouldn't even be in. But God is right there. If you ain't get nothing from this, just know that God wants you real bad. Real, real bad. Well, that concludes this episode of Heavy on Kingdom. I thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please like, comment, and subscribe, and let me know down below if your testimony sounded anything like mine. Did you have the ugly cry? Like, I want to hear it.